Our scripture reading for this morning you can find again in the book of Malachi. It's the series of Malachi 4, the fourth theory. Today's word from Malachi 2, verse 17. Last time we have seen the treachery and infidelity of Israelites. And today we will see from Malachi 2, verse 17 to 3:6. Here is the precious and infallible word of our God. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or where is the God of justice? Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner, as a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Here is the word of our God. So, dear church family, have you been asked before by some people or some mostly unbelievers? They will ask, if there is a God, then why those evil things happen around us? They will argue that God is not just, therefore there is no God. Or God has no power over those evil things. Thus there is no God. Even some Christians would doubt about that sometimes. When we see the wicked appear around us, when we see the wicked appear to be victorious, when we walk through life and encounter all kinds of natural disasters, earthquake, or moral evil such as murders, abortions, when we see these things, we were sometimes questioned, are you still just? And when we see some Christians in other countries, they're killed. Do you sometimes ask God, why would the God of justice tolerate such evil things? In Malachi's time, he dealt with a similar situation as we do today. The Israelites were wondering why God was not doing something to correct the sins and the corruption of the land. And finally, they conclude that God was not just anymore, and he was not willing to judge sin. They misinterpreted God and deemed him as unjust regarding their circumstances. So one minister puts it this way: that religion tends to base its definition of God on sight rather than on faith, on appearance rather than on reality. So therefore, God once again used his servant Malachi to rebuke them, to correct them, to show them God is just. He is the God of justice. So our theme today is the justice of God, and we will address this in 3 points. First, question by Israel. Second, the justice manifested in Christ. And third, it's immutable in his character. So when we see the first point, we might be shocked again by those Israelites. We have seen in the previous sermons that God had already dealt with them regarding different problems. In our first sermons, he corrected them for their wrong views of his unchangeable love. In the second sermon, he rebuked them for their insincere worship. And the third sermon, he rebuked them for their loose and corrupt marriages. But now those Israelites again hardened their heart after being rebuked by God, when God says, "You have wearied the Lord with your words." They defend themselves and questioning Malachi, "In what way have we wearied him?" How ironic this was. They repeatedly spoke against the Lord. They frequently charged God wrongly. And now they ask, "Where have we wearied you?" Dear church family, once again, we can see the importance of our self-examination. It's necessary for each of us. We are blind by nature, and we are prone to ignore our sins. Maybe some sins are very obvious, and you may commit them very often, but you will not be aware of them unless you examine yourself often according to the Word of God, unless the work of the Holy Spirit upon you. We need to humble ourselves, dear congregation, before the Lord to examine whether what we do is acceptable before Him. So when those Israelites questioned God, Malachi exposed their sinful words. They spoke, "Everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or where is the God of justice?" Those Israelites, they thought God delighted in sinful and evil deeds. How foolish they were. Their God, who spoke repeatedly to their forefathers that he would not justify the wicked and who would by no means clear the guilty, was now accused by them of loving evil. They thought their God has changed. Formerly, he was just, and he hates sin. But now, because their situation, they thought God has changed. He is no longer just because he did not send his judgment upon those wicked. Thus they conclude that God delights sin. So they question, where is the God of justice? So what caused them to have such an evil thought? As I mentioned in this first sermon of Malachi, those Israelites at that time were under the rule of the Persians. Even though they have returned to their homeland for around 100 years, but they are still under poverty. They thought God should prosper them as the chosen nation of God. But the reality is that the surrounding heathen countries appeared prospered. They did not realize how they treated their God unjustly by their wicked deeds and disobedience. On the contrary, they thought they were not treated well. They thought they are very good. They thought their outward deeds are very good unto God. So they thought they deserve better. They deserve better. God is not just. They thought they're very good. They did not examine how sinful they were. They did not want to repent after having been rebuked and exhorted so many times. They did not give thanks to the Lord for how gracious he was to spare them. On the contrary, they complained, they murmured. How tragic they are, dear church family. However, are we not the same as those Israelites many times? We may not speak these words aloud, but sometimes in our heart we might question whether God is just in some cases. Maybe when you know some wicked political proposal were being passed, maybe when you see those wicked people around you prosperous, whereas you may have to live in poverty. Do you then complain and misjudge God's justice? It even happens among Christians. When you see another Christian maybe not keep the Sabbath, but is not chastened by God, when you see another Christian who is lukewarm, desiring not God's word, but still enjoy a good life, when we compare ourselves with others, especially when we are in an unfavorable situation, we maybe sometimes conclude that God appeared to bless the sinful deeds. And God is not fair. Indeed, as human beings, as sinful sinners, we are prone to define fairness by our own standard. One commentator comments this way: one of the greatest sins we can commit is to infer that the inequality of human condition is a proof that God is indifferent to human conduct. Dearly beloved, we need to know God is always just. By faith, we know those prosperity of the wicked is only temporal. By faith, we know that God postpones his judgment because of his long sufferings. We should not interpret God's justice in terms of our sight, in terms of our situation, circumstances. And we should not interpret God's long suffering as his injustice. But rather, dearly beloved, we should always believe in him by faith, resting in his providence and relying on his word. Do not focus on yourselves, on ourselves, and on others. When you are faced with problems, with evil, suffering, or some unfair situations, looking onto yourself can only lead you into a darker direction, making you more sorrowful, more self-centered, more self-righteous, and more self-pitying. If you are trapped in that way of thinking, you may conclude that God is not fair and he cannot be trusted. So don't look at yourself, but fix your eyes upon your Lord, who is sovereign, who is just, who controls everything. He will execute his judgment in his time. The prophet Habakkuk is a very good example for each of us. He had experienced similar situations. He prayed to God with a great lamentation in the first chapter of Habakkuk. He cried out to God because he did not understand why those wicked men were not cast out. However, dearly beloved, what's the fundamental differences between Habakkuk and those Israelites? So why, when those Israelites were complaining, accusing, and misinterpreting God's justice without faith, Habakkuk was praying to God humbly with faith. He wanted to get an answer and to be strengthened by God. Thus, the outcome of their complaints are totally different. The Israelites kept profaning and despising God's name. However, Habakkuk praised the Lord with trust and joy. That he speaks in Habakkuk 3:17 to 18. That though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit can be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. How beautiful this is, dear believers. In this world, you will have to face sufferings that you do not understand. You may see a lot of unfair things around you, a lot of wicked things, evil things happening around you. But do not interpret wrongly. Do not interpret this as God is not just. No. Dearly beloved, pray to him that your eyes might be open to see his words and put your trust in him, that you can be strengthened and rejoice in him, because he is indeed just. He is a just God. So now we have seen So after God exposed their sinful words, God now proved to them his justice in chapter 3, 1 to 6. This is our second point, that his justice manifested in his Son, Jesus Christ. So in verse 1, God said to those Israelites that the Messiah for whom they have been waiting so long shall come suddenly. The Israelites questioned God, where is the God of justice? And God answered them, the God of justice is coming. He is coming. Malachi first said, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Here we see a prophecy regarding John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, who prepared the way of Christ. However, the focus of God in Malachi is not on John the Baptist, but Jesus Christ, who is the Lord they were seeking. He is the messenger of the covenant whom they delighted in. When in Genesis 3:15, the first gospel promise was given to Adam and Eve, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. After that, those Israelites therefore were expecting for this to be fulfilled. As God's revelation progressed, the Israelites knew that the promised seed would come through the line of Abraham, then Israel, then the tribe of Judah, then David. Now, around 500 years before Jesus came, God once again promised them and assured them that the Lord shall come suddenly. And why is he called the messenger of the covenant? Because Jesus Christ is on the one hand, the mediator of the covenant. On the other hand, himself is the covenant. Dear beloved, Jesus Christ is the perfect mediator. The Old Testament priests were not perfect. Though they functioned as mediators between God and man, but those Old Testament priests offered sacrifice for people's sin and for their own sins too. But this messenger of covenant has no sin. Those priests were made without oath, but our Lord was made with an oath by God. Those priests died in this world, but our high priest lived forever. And in the time of Malachi, those priests were corrupt. We have seen this before. They offered the blemished offering to the Lord. However, God told them through Malachi that the perfect mediator, the promised seed without sin, he was coming. He would be coming to his temple, which was the material temple at Jerusalem, the second temple. And Malachi continued to describe this coming of Jesus from verses 2 to 5. Here he expressed this in a unique way. So this passage, dear congregation, we need to look into this passage. Very interesting. This passage refers to the both first advent and second coming together. Or rather, some commentators think that Malachi blends the first coming and second coming like the prophet Joel did Because at that time, the prophets in the Old Testament did not see clearly as we do now. So here he is referring both the first coming and the second coming. Verse 2 is an obvious reference to the last day that Jesus Christ would come to judge the whole world. He is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. Here is a picture that Jesus will do the work of purifying and cleansing. When people purge metal, they will use fire to remove the dross. And when we wash our clothes, we will use the soap to wash it. Thus, Malachi is asking here, by nature, who can abide and stand when Jesus will come to judge the whole world? He is asking those Israelites who offer those blemished offerings, you, those Israelites who despise my name, can you stand before Jesus Christ? Can you stand before my justice? Can your filthy work save you? Will your insincere worship and corrupt marriages enable you to stand? The answer is no. For with their own righteousness, they cannot stand even 1 second before the God of justice. If God brings judgment now, they shall be consumed by the fire of Him. They all shall be washed away and cast out because of their disobedience and rebellion. And in verse 5, God continued to say that the judgment day is coming soon. He will not only judge those who do wickedly, but also and mostly he will judge those who do not fear Him. That's in verse 5. Because they do not fear me. Here, the fear of God is always linked to knowing God. Therefore, their ignorance of God and their unbelief were deserving the judgment. They did not fear God. And they did not know God. Therefore, God did not only show the Israelites that He is a just God who will judge those evildoers, but He warned them that they would also be judged at the day according to what they did. If they did not repent and obey their God, if they do not turn from their ways to God's way, if they continue to harden their heart and fear God not, then they cannot stand at all when Jesus came. When Jesus come to judge. However, God also gave them hope in verses 3 and 4. The ministry of the messenger of the covenant from the first coming to the judgment day is also to purify and cleanse His true church. The sons of Levi refer to the true Israelites, the true believers. On the basis of finished work of Jesus Christ, His people can offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness because they are covered by the righteousness of Christ. The reason that the offering will be pleasant to God is that Jesus Himself takes place of His church He is a representative of His church. He obeyed God perfectly. When God sees His people, He sees the perfect obedience and perfect person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, Malachi is saying here that the messenger who is going to come suddenly and unexpectedly to His temple comes on a mission of cleansing and judgment in both His first coming and second coming. He comes to purify and to punish. He will come to purify His church by His blood and by the work of the Holy Spirit, and He will judge all for those who do not know Him and do not obey Him will be consumed by the fire of God's wrath. And those who fear Him, those who obey Him, those who trust in His name will be purified and cleansed unto eternal life. The Israelites ask, where is the God of justice? Malachi answered them, the God of justice is coming. The judgment is coming. But are you ready? You people who offer blemished sacrifices, who despised my name, who profane my covenant, are you ready for this? Dearly beloved, are you ready? Are you ready for God's judgment? Jesus Christ already came to this earth on His first coming. He already died on the cross and resurrected, and He is now sitting at the right hand of His Father. And He will come again to judge all. The question for you is, are you ready? I want to make two applications here. First, for those who were always complaining, who were always questioning whether God is fair or not, but at the same time never obey what He says in the Bible, you are like those Israelites who are self-righteous, always focusing on themselves, and they are blind. Maybe you're just interested in having a good life. And when reality is not what you expect, you begin to complain that God is not fair. You just want the benefit of Christ, but not the person of Christ. Just like those Israelites who just wanted the benefits from God but never honored Him as their fathers and their masters. If you are such people, you should humble, you should repent. Come to Him. Cry out to Him. Cry out to Him to know Him and obey Him. Do not harden your heart. Humble yourself like the king Manasseh. God will hear your prayer and is able to forgive you and restore you if you truly repent and believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Second, I want to speak to those true believers. Yes, indeed, true believers may doubt about God's justice when you face afflictions from time to time, or when you see the wicked things around you, you might question God's justice. So, dear believer, stop focusing on yourself, but fix your eyes on Jesus. He was unjustly accused and condemned by sinners so that the sinners who believe in Him could be justified by Him. We should fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ. By nature, we all deserve eternal death and destructive judgment. We all deserve condemnations because we all of us, sin against Him. By nature, every second, we sin against Him. Without Christ, none of us can stand before Him. However, the good news is that Christ, the messenger of the covenant, died on the cross to satisfy the justice of the Father. Therefore, dear believers, when you face tribulations or see the unfairness around you, meditate on your Lord. He is just and He will judge all who do not know Him. Do not compare yourself to others. Do you remember when Peter asked Jesus in John 21? He asked, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus answered to him, "If I were that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Dear believers, fix your eyes upon your Lord. In this world, you may face many times tribulations, unfairness. But dear believers, trust in Him. He is just. He is just. Follow Him. Obey Him. So after Malachi proved to those Israelites that the justice of God is manifested in the coming Messiah, he further reinforced his argument in verse 6. "For I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Here it shows the attribute of God's immutability, which is a most encouraging and comforting truth for everyone. So when I say immutability, I mean that God does not change. He is unchangeable. So when the Israelites weird God, saying God delights in the people who did the evil, God responds that He is the Lord who never changes. He is immutable in His essence. He is immutable in His attributes. All His attributes are unchangeable. His holiness never changes. His power never changes. His love never changes. And His justice never changes. And moreover, He is immutable in His word. What He said cannot change. He said that He would not acquit the wicked, thus He would judge them, then He will fulfill what He said. He will do what He does promised. The promised seed, who was promised to their forefathers, behold, He is coming. coming. The messenger of justice will do the work of purifying, cleansing, and judgment. His justice, his word, never change. He will do it. And lastly, he is immutable in his plan. What he plans and decrees in the beginning, he will bring to pass. No matter how unfaithful those Israelites were, Messiah, Jesus Christ, will come from the line of David. Thus, those Israelites are not consumed because God is faithful. Because according to their sinful deeds, they were consumed. But God is faithful. He never changes. Messiah must come. So he spared those Israelites. According to his redemptive plan, Jesus Christ must come. He thus spares some so that Messiah could be born. Dearly beloved, how beautiful this is. Our God never changes. Because of his immutability, Jesus Christ, the one that Malachi predicted, came to the earth to save sinners like you and me. Because of his immutability, the spiritual Israelite, the true church of Christ, are not consumed through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. His justice never changes. That all sinners need to die eternally. But also his love never changes. Thus he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be cursed for the sake of sinners who come to him. How merciful and just our God is. Dear unbelieving friends, maybe you have heard the gospel for many times, but you need to know that our God, the God of justice, has come, but he will come again. If you do not have a personal relationship to him, if you do not have Christ's righteousness imputed to you, if you do not believe, if you do not obey, you will be consumed at the day of judgment. If you do not have the passport of the blood of Jesus, repent, dear friends, repent. Believe in Jesus Christ, who is the only way, who is the covenant, who is the messenger of the covenant, the Son of God. He is the only mediator of the covenant to do the work of reconciliation. Believe in him. Do not harden your heart like those Israelites. Always question. Always murmur. Maybe you are enjoying a good life now. But remember, he is just. He is just according to his word. Do not use his long suffering as the excuse of your indulgence. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Dear friends, do you really want to perish? Do you really want to perish? Come to Him. Repent and believe the gospel. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for such a precious salvation that in Jesus Christ. We thank you that your love and your justice is manifested in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be strengthened by this wonderful truth that you are loving God and you are just God. And at the same time, Lord, help those who still do not believe in you. Help those who do not have a personal relationship to your Son, Jesus Christ. Illuminate them with your Holy Spirit through your word. Open their eyes, open their heart to see that we have only one hope in Jesus and who already came. We don't know the time when you will come again, but we know that you will come to judge those who do not fear you. Lord, help those who do not believe in you. Help them to build their trust in you. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.